Let us hear the word of the Lord. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Now let's turn to 1 Timothy as we continue our study of that epistle. We're going to read from chapter 4, verse 13, to chapter 5, verse 2. We're looking at 5, 1, and 2. I'd intended to take a longer section, but I thought it's good to just pause and focus on some of the basics that the apostle gives us here in verses 1 and 2. So let's begin reading at chapter 4 and verse 13. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy, when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. Here begins our text, chapter 5, 1 and 2. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity. So far, the reading of God's holy word. What is life like in your family? In the New Testament, the church is sometimes compared to a family. God is our Father, and believers are brothers and sisters who associate with one another in a family relationship. A family is meant to be a place where father and mother, brothers and sisters, are to love and care for one another and seek the spiritual well-being of one another. A family should be a place where we respect each other, show courtesy toward one another, and where we are a source of mutual strength and encouragement. Unfortunately, in this sinful world, our families are not always what they should be. A father may waver from the truth. A mother may depart from the word. One or more of the children may fall into sin. When that is the case in the family, it is the responsibility of the others to challenge the wayward with a view to restoration. If a son is showing signs of disobedience and rebellion, it needs to be addressed. If a daughter shows signs of rebellion, it needs to be dealt with. Likewise, if a father or mother wavers from the Scriptures, he or she needs the others to lovingly correct them. A healthy family is one in which there is loving, biblical confrontation. Like a family, the church of the Lord Jesus has a responsibility to care for each and every member. When there is disobedience in the church, it needs to be addressed. When there is spiritual rebellion in the church, when there is heresy in the church, it needs to be examined. Matthew 18 is a strong reminder of the need for careful and thoughtful biblical confrontation. When we truly love one another in the household of God, we want our brothers and sisters to walk with Him, to enjoy fellowship with Him, and to grow in sanctification. A loving family does not ignore rebellion, and a loving church does not ignore spiritual waywardness. We want our brother to live in the joy of the Lord. We want our sister to prosper spiritually. In our text, the Apostle Paul addresses an important question, a question of how to confront and encourage one another in the household of God, how to confront and exhort one another in God's family. Timothy was part of the household of God in Ephesus. And as you know, the church in Ephesus had a number of problems to deal with. There were some who were teaching false doctrine. There were some who were causing disputes. There were some who were straying from the faith, turning aside to idle talk. There were some who had suffered shipwreck concerning the faith. There were some whom Paul had delivered over to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. There were some who were giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. There were some whose consciences were seared as with a hot iron. When you do a cursory reading of 1 Timothy, you quickly discover that the spiritual family in Ephesus had their share of problems. If the problems were not addressed, they would eventually destroy the church. They would be torn apart, as is usually the case in dysfunctional families. As a leader, it was part of Timothy's responsibility to confront the wayward, bring them back to biblical truth, and restore harmony. How was Timothy supposed to do that? And how are you and I to confront one another in the household of God? How do we properly deal with sin in the family? In chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul gives us some general guidelines for addressing one another in the family of God. First, how to confront older men. Second, how to confront younger men. Third, how to confront older women. And fourth, how to confront younger women. Older men, younger men. Older women, younger women. First of all, what does Paul say in verse 1? Let's have a look. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. The Bible teaches that older men are to be treated with respect. We read in Leviticus 19, verse 32, you shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. Proverbs 16, 31 says, gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. We are living in a culture that does not seem to think very highly of seniors. That is manifested in a number of ways: the disrespect, lack of care, support for euthanasia, and so on. But Christians are commanded to respect the gray-headed. God has given to older men years of experience in dealing with the challenges of life. They have wrestled through many things, and their experience, knowledge, and wisdom should be valued. But unfortunately, older men can still fall into sin. Their years of experience do not make them immune to evil. In 1 Kings chapter 11, we read that when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God. Solomon's gray head did not keep him from sinning. Therefore, there are times when a church family may have to correct an older man. It may be a sinful attitude, a complaining, grumbling, murmuring temperament. It may be a critical spirit, a divisive spirit, a stubborn spirit, a bitter spirit, or an unforgiving spirit. It may also be a theological error that is dangerous for the rest of the church. As Solomon departed from sound theology, so it is possible for an older man today to depart from sound theology. I've known older men in the church who sadly went off the rails theologically. Even senior pastors and elders, they tolerated, accepted, or even promoted what they once condemned as being clearly contrary to the word and the confessions. When an older man departs from the truth, it is especially dangerous for the church because of the fact that they are to be looked up to as an example, as a model for those who are younger. So what are we to do when an older man demonstrates a sinful attitude, or speaks inappropriate words, or lives an unacceptable lifestyle, or teaches flawed theology? What should we do when an older man needs to be corrected? I vividly remember once speaking to a pastor who said that some of the older men in the church were showing a real lack of support for the elders of his church. Some of the comments of these older men were downright rude, unkind, and inconsiderate. Instead of opening their Bibles and reasonably discussing their concerns with the elders, they bluntly insisted on imposing their own opinions. They grumbled and complained within the congregation about the elders, openly displaying an attitude of discontent. They could often be heard murmuring in the fellowship hall, disseminating their disapproval. What should we do when an older man needs to be corrected? Paul says, do not rebuke him, but encourage, exhort him as you would a father. Now, what does Paul mean when he says, do not rebuke him? Aren't there other passages in the Bible that speak of the need for rebuke? For example, in Luke chapter 17, verse 3, our Lord Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, what? Rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. Jesus said that there are times when rebuke is actually required. It is necessary. And if you look down to 1 Timothy 5:20, let's go there for just a moment. Go down to 1 Timothy 5:20. There the apostle says, as for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest may stand in fear. You see, there are times when rebuke is necessary. 2 Timothy 4:2, convince, rebuke, exhort. Titus 1:13, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in faith. Titus 2:15, speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. The New Testament indicates that within the household of God, loving rebuke may be required. Also in the Old Testament, Proverbs 9, verse 8, rebuke a wise man and he will love you. The Bible charges the covenant community to rebuke one another. Well, what then does Paul mean when he says, do not rebuke an older man? The word rebuke here in our text is not the same word that's used in verse 20 and in the other passages I just quoted. The word in our text, rebuke, is from a Greek word which means to strike at, to beat on. The word describes harsh, violent, or angry rebuke. It is to strike at someone with harsh words, to beat them with insensitive words, to give them a severe, violent tongue lashing. That kind of rebuke is never appropriate in the household of God, but it's especially offensive when addressing an older man. Instead of clobbering him with harsh words, Paul says, encourage him, exhort him as a father. Older men in the church are to be treated in the same way that you would treat your own flesh and blood father. How do you treat your father? The Bible says, honor your father, respect your father, love your father. If your own father sins, what do? You gently and lovingly call him to account with the word of God. You say, Dad, I'm concerned about your spiritual life. I'm concerned about your attitude and conduct. Dad, I want to encourage you to take the path of godliness to reflect the character of your heavenly father. The word encourage there in verse 1 is a word that means exhort, entreat, appeal to. It carries the idea of coming alongside to hold up the one who is struggling. If your father sins, you don't give him a severe, violent tongue lashing. What do? You come alongside with concern to assist him, encourage him, and appeal to him. That is how we are to treat an older man in the household of God. Even if he is rude, unkind, and inconsiderate, you are to exhort him with a view to restoration. You don't rebuke him just to prove that he's wrong and to punish him for his actions, but rather you exhort him as you would your own father with the goal of restoration. Older men are fathers in the Christian community, and therefore they are to be treated with affection and honor. Their sins are not to be ignored, but they are to be corrected as a father, not as an enemy, addressed gently, tactfully, and with affection. Then secondly, Paul goes on to address the question of how to confront younger men in the household of God. How to confront younger men in the household of God? Look again to verse 1. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father, younger men as brothers. In other words, you're not to regard the younger men as inferior. You're not to regard them as being of less value. Instead, you are to regard them as peers and treat them as equals in the family of God. That means that when they sin, you are to demonstrate a brotherly spirit. When they stray, you are to give them brotherly guidance. When they are confused, you are to give them brotherly counsel. Treat them like you would your flesh and blood brother. How do you treat your flesh and blood brother? You love him and seek to do what's good for him. You try to encourage him to walk in obedience, to turn away from wickedness, and to devote his life wholly, unreservedly to the Lord. Younger men in the church are to be encouraged as brothers. When a problem arises in their life, you support them. When they struggle, you stand by their side. When they fail, you encourage them. When they stumble, you uphold them. When they get on your nerves, you don't avoid them or walk a large circle around them, shun them or hate them. Instead, you try to lead them. Lead them to the Heavenly Father. Congregation, the younger men in the household of God are your brothers. You are commanded in Scripture to love them, walk with them, and be a source of strength to them. By so doing, you maintain peace in the family. The Apostle John emphasized the importance of love, right? 1 John 2, verse 9, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. 1 John 3:14, he who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Scripture declares that if we truly love our brother, we will seek his spiritual good. That means that when there is sin in his life, you're willing to carefully address it as Jesus commanded in Matthew 18. Jesus said, if your brother sins, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. The Bible teaches that honest confrontation is one of the fullest ways we can express our love. Ignoring sin in the household of God is usually the easier road for us to take, but it can be harmful to our brother. If we genuinely care about them, we will be willing to sacrifice our time and our energy in order to help them have a right relationship with Christ and others. We need to remember, brothers and sisters, we need to remember that the younger men will soon hold the reins of leadership in the church. They will soon be the elders, deacons, and pastors. They will soon sit in the council room and make the decisions for the church. The younger men will soon be the spiritual leaders who guide the next generation. And therefore, it's imperative that the younger men receive thoughtful direction, guidance, and care. The older members of the church are not to look down on them or express an air of superiority when interacting with them. Instead, the older members of the church are to show brotherly affection, consideration, respect, and guidance. The older members are to share their life's experiences and the things that the Lord has taught them from His Word so that the younger men can be encouraged and trained for fruitful service. The older members should testify to the younger of God's faithfulness and loving kindness so that the young men grow in confidence, trust, obedience, and love for the Lord Jesus Christ. The older members should encourage the younger to abound and abound and abound in the work of the Lord, to give themselves for the advancement and prosperity of His church. They need to be encouraged to flee the temptations of youth and to persevere in their commitment to Jesus Christ and the gospel. So first of all, when we confront one another in the family of God, we need to encourage an older man as a father. Secondly, we need to encourage younger men as brothers. And then thirdly, Paul tells us how to treat older women. How to treat older women. The Bible teaches that the older women are to be treated with respect, just like the older men. We are to show them that they are an important part of the household of God, extremely valuable for the church. But again, what if they need correction and discipline? There may be times when a church family has to correct an older woman. Perhaps she is guilty of damaging gossip. She may be guilty of using her tongue in a harmful way, destroying the reputation of others. She may be guilty of spreading poisonous words and attitudes within the congregation. Or perhaps she is guilty of constant murmuring. She shows a spirit of dissatisfaction with the ways of God. What do you do? What do you do? How do you confront an older woman? Paul says in verse 2, encourage older women as mothers. Timothy had to deal with the older women in the same way that he would deal with his own erring mother. As you know, Timothy had a godly mother who faithfully taught him the Word of God. He learned the message of salvation from his mother, Eunice. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, Paul said that Timothy's mother had faithfully taught him the Word from his youth. From childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Timothy's father was a Greek. Therefore, Timothy was taught the Word by his mother and also his grandmother. They filled his mind with the Scriptures, and the Scriptures, applied by the Spirit, brought him to saving faith in Christ. Timothy will live forever because of his faithful mother and grandmother. Undoubtedly, Timothy loved his mother dearly. You might say that she was his first theology professor. She taught him the basics of the Christian faith and how to live before the face of God. Now, suppose Timothy's mother fell into some noticeable pattern of sin. Suppose she started living a very worldly life, or suppose she became very sharp with her tongue. How would Timothy deal with it? What would be the proper thing to do? Should he ignore it? Should he turn a blind eye or a deaf ear to the situation? Or should he give his mother a harsh lecture or whack her over the head verbally with a severe reprimand? How would Timothy deal with it? What would be the scriptural approach? No doubt, he would take her quietly aside and speak to her as carefully as possible so as not to wound her spirit. He would speak to her as a loving and grateful son and deal with her tenderly, affectionately, and compassionately. He would open the word and carefully show his mother the areas in her life that needed attention. Now, says Paul, that's how you are to treat the older women in the church. Treat them in the same way that Scripture says you should treat your mother. Love them, protect them, guard their reputation, deal with them tenderly, affectionately, and compassionately. Show them the same consideration that you would show to your mother. Reach out to them with the same level of concern that you would show to your mother. If an older woman in the church is doing something that is dishonoring to God and harmful to the body, you don't ignore it. Neither do you clobber them with a severe reprimand. Rather, you speak to them as a grateful son should speak to his mother. You show them that you're concerned about their attitude. You point out to them from the word the area that needs attention, and you do it with a spirit of gentleness, concern, and humility. That's how believers need to deal with older women in the church. They are to be valued as you value your mother, loved as you love your mother. Older women are mothers in the Christian community. They need to be treated with honor, and they need to know that their contributions are important and that they have an important place in the body. Their positive influence in the fellowship is valued. Older women can be a great asset to the Christian church. They assist the church in showing hospitality. They assist needy families. They show love, warmth, and understanding as only a mother can do. Older women can be a wonderful source of blessing as they encourage the younger women and provide a wealth of practical helps. And even when their strength is failing, even when they begin to feel the limitations of the body, and they can no longer do what they once did, they can pray that God would work in a mighty way among his people and cause the church to be a powerful force in the community. At the end of Romans, chapter 16, verse 13, the Apostle Paul spoke affectionately of a woman who had been a blessing in his life. Listen to what he wrote. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother who has been a mother to me as well. Ladies, don't you think that it would be an honor if the Apostle Paul spoke of you as being a mother to him? Obviously, Paul deeply respected the mother of Rufus. She had enriched his life and shown him the love and care that a mother does for her son. I've known women who seem to be a mother to most of the people in the church. Caring, sacrificial, hospitable, willing to listen, willing to bear their burdens. If you're an older woman here today, you still have a task to do. Whether you have children or not, you can be a mother to God's people. And we want you to know that we greatly appreciate your care. So first of all, treat older men as fathers. Second, treat younger men as brothers. Third, treat older women as mothers. And fourth, Paul concludes verse 2 by addressing the question of how to confront younger women. How to confront younger women. Look at the end of verse 2. Younger women are to be treated as sisters. As a relatively young pastor, Timothy could perhaps be tempted by some of the young ladies in the church. But Paul said to him, Timothy, as you counsel young women, as you deal with them in the congregation, treat them as though they are your flesh and blood sisters. And then Paul adds in verse 2, note these words, with all purity. With all purity. There should be no lust, no immoral thoughts, no inappropriate looks. Timothy must treat the younger women as if they were his own sisters with all purity. In the life of the church family, there are times when young women need to be admonished for their conduct. There are times when they do or say things that are not proper for Christian women. One of the things that Paul focused on in chapter 2 was the way they dressed for public worship. Paul made it very clear that the women were not to flaunt themselves. The women were told to adorn themselves in modest apparel. They are to dress in a way that is proper for women professing godliness. They're not to draw attention to themselves in the assembly. They are not to distract other worshipers by indecent or inappropriate clothing. Now, as a leader in the church, Timothy had a responsibility to address those who may be living in violation of these principles. What should he do? How should he confront a younger woman who shows poor judgment in the way she dresses for public worship? How should he confront a younger woman who does not take seriously the admonition to modesty? Or how should he confront a younger woman who sins in some other way? Timothy had to deal with them in the same way that he would deal with his own erring flesh and blood sister. How do you deal with an erring sister? You challenge her in love, point out the danger she is in, and you do it all in purity. Younger women in the church are to be treated as sisters. They're to be protected, shielded, spiritually nourished, and taught within the church. And whatever sins may need correcting, it is to be done with all purity. One writer offered these very practical words of advice. He said, "One good way for a church leader to preserve his purity is to avoid meeting with women completely in private. He can have conversations with women before or after church, of course. He can also arrange to meet a woman for spiritual counsel, provided someone else is close by. But he should never go alone to a woman's house." The writer goes on to say, "My own rule of thumb is in keeping with this verse. I will not meet alone with any woman unless she is my wife, my sister, my daughter, or old enough to be my mother. I will not meet alone with any woman unless she is my wife, my sister, my daughter, or old enough to be my mother." Dear friends, in the world, young women are often treated as sexual objects to satisfy the lusts of men. The Miley Cyrus image is something that the world gravitates towards. Many young women today are exploited and degraded. They are used to excite unlawful passions. In the Church of Jesus Christ, there should be a totally different attitude towards young women. It is a place where they should feel entirely safe. They are to be treated with respect and appreciated as daughters of the King. They are to be protected from the evils that are prevalent in our society. Younger women are to be regarded as sisters with all purity. We are to appreciate the gifts that God has given them and encourage them to serve within the body of Christ. We should welcome the blessings that godly young women bring to the church. Younger women are sisters in the Christian community. When they sin, they need correction. Correction that is done in a spirit of purity and genuine concern. And so, congregation, the church is a family made up of fathers, mothers, brothers, and sisters. As we rub shoulders together, as we worship together, as we serve together, we do so as family. When someone offends us, we address them as a father, mother, brother, or sister. When someone irritates us or sins against us, we address them as a father, mother, brother, or sister. When we keep these simple guidelines in mind, we will be far more considerate and respectful of one another. The person next to you is part of your family. The man behind you is a father in the faith. The woman in front of you is a mother in the Christian church. The young man or young woman in the next row is your brother or sister. That affects how we deal with one another in the church. It changes how we deal with one another at various meetings. That affects how we address sin in each other's lives. The church should not be a family where we merely tolerate one another. It should not be a family where we simply coexist in the same building once a week. The church should be a family where fathers love mothers, where mothers love brothers and sisters, and where brothers and sisters love fathers and mothers. The church should be a spiritual family in which you help one another to grow in sanctification, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Each member of the spiritual family should be concerned about the other, and each member should treat the others with dignity and respect. Brothers and sisters, family, are we doing that? Are we doing that? Are we confronting one another in love? Are we living as a family that is purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, as a family that understands His grace? May each one of us strive to be faithful in the place that God has given us. May the older men be spiritual pillars. May the younger men be energetic workers. May the older women be self-giving mothers. May the younger women be lively encouragers. And may our spiritual family here at Covenant bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior and head of this family. And if you've come here today and you're wondering how you can be part of the family of God, Scripture says, to all who receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. You hear that? Believe in Jesus, whose blood was shed for sinners. Receive the message of the cross. Trust that He suffered and died for you, and you will be His child. And having become His child, you join yourself to a local church, which is now your family. Let us pray. Lord, it is a privilege to be part of your family. And we confess, Lord, sometimes we squabble amongst each other unnecessarily. Sometimes we are harsh with one another. Sometimes we offend others. We pray that you will forgive us. Keep us, Lord, true to you. Help us to remember these very basic things outlined in these verses. We do pray, Lord, that the older men in this congregation may truly be spiritual pillars. We pray that we may be able to look up to them, that we may learn from their example and from their wisdom, and that we may treat them as fathers. We pray, Lord, that the younger men may be filled with enthusiasm for the work of the Lord, and that they may grow as they observe the conduct of the older. We pray, Heavenly Father, for the older women, that they would truly be self-giving mothers. That, Lord, they may show by their conduct, by their life, that they have truly understood the message of grace, that we might honor them in the way we deal with them. We pray, Lord, for the younger women, that they too may know their place in the body and that they would be treated with respect, with care, that we might protect them, show them honor and dignity. We pray, Lord, that together within this local family, we may serve you and honor you in the way we interact with each other. We might be willing to show that loving confrontation for the purpose of restoration, that we might grow in sanctification. And so, Lord, if there are any here who are not yet part of the family of God, we pray, Lord, that you will work in their heart, that they might understand that to all who receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We pray, Lord, that each and every one here may receive Christ, may believe in his name, and may experience the blessings of being incorporated into your family. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen.